of fitness, community, and life all on one podcast. That podcast known as the Wadapalooza Podcast. And we're celebrating double digits of episodes here. Episode number 10. And I, your host, Dylan Malitsky, am joined by Emily Bridgers here in just a few short moments, finishing second place in 2015 and 2016 at the Wadapalooza. And just an all-around great human being and an awesome ambassador in our functional fitness community. She'll be on with us here in just a few moments. You know, normally I go on and on about some things going on here at Wadapalooza headquarters here in Miami. I'll just touch on one thing briefly, but I'm cutting much of the fluff out this time around. In April, we're going to be announcing a little off-season fun, a little bit different than our traditional format of competitive functional fitness. However, it is a competition. Again, you're going to have to wait till April to hear more about it. Just keep that on your radar. But without further ado, folks, we are on with Mrs. Emily Benson. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Do you still go by Bridgers? Is that?
Yeah, I haven't officially made the name change. And in CrossFit, I'm going to keep Bridgers.
Gotcha. Yeah, you are definitely known by that name, Emily Bridgers. Well, Emily, good morning, and thank you for joining us here on the Wadapalooza Podcast. How are you doing today?
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
No problemo at all. As you guys know for sure, in the functional fitness community, we are 3 weeks down into the open, and Emily, you are crushing it. If I'm not mistaken,
thanks.
You're sitting in seventh right now.
Yeah, I believe that's correct after the third week.
3 weeks, and last year you finished fourth. Any goals out of the gate here to finish higher than last year? Is that on the radar at all?
Yeah, I would like to finish the open top three. I was sitting in first for the first 2 weeks, which is pretty cool.
Heck yeah.
And then this third workout was not quite my workout. High rep, light power snatches. I mean, they're not bad for me, but compared to the top girls, I guess my grip strength is randomly weak in that type of pulling. And it is something I've worked on, especially since Randy.
Right.
Last year at regionals, but that was the first workout I've redone, and I mean, I did better the second time, but not as good as I would have hoped.
What was your final score?
129.
So one rep shy of 10 full rounds.
Yes.
And just talking to some of the other athletes, I think a lot of people felt as though they would get into like 12, 13. You'd have some people getting into the 14th round, obviously not finishing, but I think a lot of those, even those top-level games athletes, underestimating the wrath.
Yeah, when the workout came out, I was like, oh, yeah, the top score will definitely be 14 rounds. That's 30 seconds a round. And so in my head, I figured I could at least get 12. And then I talked to Sam on Friday, Sam Briggs, and knowing that she didn't even get 12, I was like, okay, maybe I should change my pacing strategy a little bit. So I just was like, okay, I can get 12 rounds.
And then I was way wrong.
So then the second time I redid it, I just wanted to get 10 rounds, and I came one rep short.
Super close, and you're still definitely in the thick of it for a chance to be in that top three, if not near the top spot for sure.
Yeah, points are really close.
Super close on both of them.
Hopefully the next 2 weeks will go well.
Yeah, no, and we'll see what comes out of the hopper. Tomorrow is the day that 16.4 comes out. Anything specifically you're looking to see in these last 2 weeks? If you had to pick the ideal one, have you already seen your ideal workout? I mean, obviously, week one was absolutely in your favor.
Yeah, week one, I got my first open win, so I'd say that was probably my ideal workout.
That was insane, by the way.
I didn't really know that with overhead walking lunges, but the chest to bars and the burpees, I could have told you that beforehand.
Yeah.
So now, I don't know about movements, because I know we're probably going to see rowing and wall balls and possibly deadlifts, and none of that gets me too excited, but I like a chipper. That would be fun, and I honestly like surprising myself with the movements that I don't necessarily like. I was pretty happy with how I did last year on the rowing and thrusters.
Right.
We still haven't had thrusters yet, so I'm sure those will come out.
Oh, they have to. Dang, Dave Castro, they have to come, and I just would hope they would not, but They're bound to, for sure. And speaking of week one and your first open victory, which, again, congratulations on. That's huge.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was – I watched the video of you doing that, I think right at the end of week one. And you came out of the gate blazing. I mean, I am so surprised. I was like, oh, she's got to slow down here. She's got to – there's got to come a point where, you know, she's maybe not red line, but you're going to hit a little bit of a wall and have to tailor it back. But you hit an insane pace out of the gate and somehow – managed to keep it and locked up at first place. Do you know by how much? Like, who do you know who was in second? I didn't even get a chance. I forget who came in second.
I think Sam was in second on that week.
The engine. Was she close? Do you know?
Yep. I think she was four reps away.
Okay.
A few lunges away, or maybe 4 to 6 reps. I can't remember.
Very respectable. Definitely respectable. But awesome. So, you know, It's probably, you know, no, for sure, it's taking you a long time to get to this point. You know, you're a two-time games competitor. You've competed at Wodapalooza 3 times, and you're always up there on the leaderboard. But the journey to get here, I'm sure, was not an easy one. And I think the coolest thing in CrossFit is to hear how individuals got their start into functional fitness and into CrossFit. Would you mind sharing with the Wodapalooza listeners your beginnings?
Yeah. So I'm coming up on 6 years of CrossFit, which is pretty crazy. Wow. I started when I was 22, almost 23, and now I'm close to 29. So just thinking about that kind of blows my mind. Because I was like the youngest starting out, and now I feel like there's so many, you know, 18 to 21-year-olds out there. It's insane. Yeah, I basically started, I graduated college. I did gymnastics in college for 1 year. And then after that, I retired because of a back injury.
So was that something you did all through high school? And then like, did you?
Yes, from age 3 through my freshman year of college, I did gymnastics basically. It was the majority of my life.
Wow.
So it was a huge part of my life. I was basically known as a gymnast in, you know what I mean, Emily, she's a gymnast, that kind of thing. So it's pretty weird, like, retiring from a sport that you've done your whole life and not the most satisfied with how it ended, although it is a sport that, you know, it might end when you're 18, but it's certainly going to end when you're 22. You can't do much with gymnastics after that age. So
there's not even, you don't find people that are like beyond 22 in the Olympics, or is it typically something that ends right after college?
No. I mean, occasionally you'll see a 25-year-old still competing, like in invitationals, but it's pretty rare. To basically, there's no end game after 21, 22 years old.
Gotcha. So then freshman year of college, you said you got injured. Was it something very traumatic? Was it?
No, it was a back injury I had been dealing with. Basically, I had back pain all throughout high school, and it was the doctors kind of said it was degenerative discs. Some of them recommended that I stop just because it was just going to get worse, but I kind of didn't consider that an option at the time.
Right, fought through it.
I got like some injections in high school. I don't know if that was the smartest idea to kind of block the pain. But later on, I just continued to be in pain and just realized that I was on a team at the University of Georgia where a couple of my teammates had been to the Olympics. I was on a team that had gone undefeated my freshman year. Oh, so the chances of me competing were, I had to work my ass off every day, and the chances of me competing were still pretty slim for still having back pain every day.
Because the team was so stacked? Is that what you're saying? The team was just so damn
good?
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
That's pretty heavy stuff.
So I kind of just like weighed the pros and cons and decided it was best for me to call it retirement. And I ended up kind of for the next few years doing some internet broadcasts, like broadcasting the gymnastics meets and traveling around with the team, which was pretty cool.
That's really cool. Did you like commentate and stuff as well?
Yeah, I did the color commentary and did some pre- and post-meet interviews, that kind of thing.
Emily, this is news to me with my background, and yeah. I know you know Kiki's background and all of us in the media department. If you let that out of the bag with CrossFit HQ, you can find yourself a, a post-athletic
I know.
Career.
I told Kiki I'm going to hop on with her if I'm ever not competing. She's come on, I'd love to have you.
I'm sure they'd love to. That would be so awesome.
That's cool. It's one of those things that in gymnastics it came naturally because, you know, you've been around it your whole life, and now I feel like I've been around CrossFit long enough to where maybe it would come naturally. I don't know. You guys do a pretty top-notch job, so that'd be a lot of pressure.
If you feel comfortable with gymnastics and you have such a passion for CrossFit, it was the same exact thing for me, and I'm sure Kiki the same. We just walked out there, and, you know, it flowed because we're so comfortable with the sport. I'm sure that you would crush it. I'm excited to see you in the future on the mic. That's
awesome. Yeah, that'd be
forward.
Cool.
But so, okay, so then you said, you know, you finished up, you stuck around with the team and you know, broadcasted and live streamed the different meets. Then what got you into CrossFit then from there?
Yeah, so in the meantime, I mean, I continued working out. Like, fitness was a huge part of my life. I never pictured myself being inactive, but at the same time, I still, let's say I enjoyed college to the fullest for the next three, four years.
What does that mean?
I mean, I went out a lot, partied a lot, and
you don't have to say anymore. I
could just tell. I wasn't very fit, although I was still working out.
Gotcha.
So
kept the base.
I moved out of a college town and back to Atlanta, and the Gold's Gym that I had always gone to just closed down. So I was about to start coaching gymnastics, and I just kind of went to the nearest CrossFit gym close to that, and it was CrossFit Decatur.
Okay.
And I was kind of recommended through one of my teammates' brothers was into CrossFit, and he owned a CrossFit gym in Ohio, and he kept telling us we would be good at it. So I went in, signed up, and I mean, I was pretty broke right out of college, so I was like, the only reason I'm going to stop doing this is if I can't afford it.
Yeah, I was in the same position when I started. Yeah, it's expensive. If you're just joining an affiliate for the first time, I'm sure those listening
at
home
know. It's intimidating at first.
Yeah, hundreds of dollars, $100+ for a membership is pretty costly for a recent college graduate, for sure.
Yeah, but I think you find that it's immediately worth it.
Absolutely.
So that day, my now husband was the one who signed me up, and I took his class every morning, and it was one of those things where he kind of got me hooked into coming Monday through Friday. He basically set the standard, like, I want to see you here every day. But I was not in the mode where I was serious about anything competition related.
Gotcha.
I even was not into working out on the weekends at all. That was just not even an option at the time. And then once he saw that I could be pretty good at this thing, he's like, I think you need to start training on Saturdays at least. So it was like a progressive thing as I went. We saw that I was getting better. And then the next year, 2011, was when the Open first came out. And I was like, hey, why don't I try this? So me and one or two other people at our gym signed up for the Open.
So did you guys like instantly start dating when you first went there? Like, my question is, did Ben, I'm sure he saw potential in you as an athlete because you were a former gymnast and you were very talented.
Yeah.
But was he more like, yo, Emily is attractive, I want to take her under my wing, I need her in here every day. Like, I wonder if it was a little bit of both. Or
it wasn't like that. He was strictly my coach for over 2 years. And then I think at about 2.5 years, we started dating. So it was one of those, I don't know, he was older, he was previously married, covered in tattoos. I was like, oh, I'm not going to like this guy, I'm not going to like this guy. And then over time, I was like, okay, I really like this guy.
A little bit of intimidation, I'm sure, to start, and it turned into blossoming and a beautiful marriage. I'm excited for the both of you, and Ben is still your coach, your full-time coach. Does he do all your programming and everything?
Yep. So basically every night we like to take it day by day. So we sit down and talk about what I can do the next day, if there's anything we need to avoid. And that's kind of how it works. And then we have some remote clients who follow the program, but they're 1 week behind. So.
Gotcha. So you're like the tester for them.
Yeah. So I tell them when it's like too ridiculous, like, you need to change that.
Tone it down a little bit. Yeah, I hear you. Then what about, so You mentioned that you know, you guys started off at Decatur. How did it then turn into, I know you're at a CrossFit Terminus, and I've had the pleasure actually last year right after regionals of dropping in and catching you when you were still recovering from your regional victory. How did that come to be? When did you guys decide you wanted to open up an affiliate?
So Ben managed CrossFit Decatur for probably around 5 years. I worked there for, I think, 2 years, and then I decided I needed to move on and coach elsewhere. So I went and coached at CrossFit RX, and that year I coached there for about a year. And during that time I was on the CrossFit RX team, I got fifth at regionals that year. So I was able to hop on the team and go to the games. And then basically like the week after the games in 2013, we opened CrossFit Terminus.
Oh, wow. And now you guys not only have, you know, a stellar athlete in yourself, but your squad does well. I have not seen the leaderboard. I know last year you guys.
I think they may be sitting in like seventh. So we'll see how it plays out after we remove my score and that kind of thing. They're hoping to get back to regional.
That's always so tough to do the math. This year we were peak 360 down here. We've got Noah off the leaderboard this time, but we've got another aspiring individual female that may end up going individual, and that could really shake everything up. So we're waiting to see as well. We're kind of in the same boat. So top 15 is tough.
It's really tough.
Yeah,
but every year it gets worse too.
Sure. I know, right? I mean, it's insane. The level of competition is being elevated every single day. And that's what makes it so amazing to me that somebody like yourself can stay so consistent. You said it. There's a lot of these young guns coming out of the woodwork. And I know that CrossFit HQ just put out a story about the top guy and girl on the leaderboard. You know, I don't want to say they're no names necessarily, but they're not big names in the sport because they've never made it to the games. But to me, they're new faces, they're new names.
I mean, right now, if you look at the leaderboard, like the top 10, well, for females, you're familiar with everybody except for Jamie Green.
And then I think
I'll be interested to see how she does the rest of the season.
Her, and then there's Kyle Frankenfeld for the guys. There's always that one name that kind of, you know, surprises everybody. Like, who is that guy? Who's that girl?
Yeah. But I will say, like, other than not knowing her, when I look at the top 10 on the leaderboard now, I think that I'd be okay with seeing those top 10 at the games. You know, maybe not in that same order, but I think that they've done a good job of picking out the top people as of right now.
For sure. Yeah, it's definitely been a good affair and good test through 3 weeks. Two more to go. But so I will say you've definitely been doing something right over the off season through Ben's programming and obviously through the rest of your training. I wanted to ask, because I think, you know, this is the Wadapalooza podcast. I wanted to ask a little bit about your off season and if it differed in any way or what you, you know, what it consisted of. Obviously, you know, people back home know that you competed at Wadapalooza, but, did you do anything special or different this year leading up to this year's season?
This offseason was a little bit different. As you said, everybody's constantly getting better. And I think in order to stay on top of that trend, you have to keep that in mind every day that you go in the gym and approach it with intensity. Mm-hmm. You can't just go through the motions and expect to get better in this sport. So there's that. It's kind of like always putting the pressure on yourself. Am I getting better or am I staying the same? And in order to do that, you obviously have to stay healthy because, you know, if you have any minor setbacks, it's hard to keep progressing. Mm-hmm. And I've been pretty fortunate over 6 years to not have any major injuries. But this fall, I did get married in November, so I was busy planning a wedding, which, I mean, was time-consuming but not super distracting from the gym. But I did have some pretty bad quad tendonitis, so I decided – like after the team series, and I went to a competition in Mexico, and right after that, I think the day after I got back, I got two PRP injections in my knees.
Oh wow, a plasma so replacement like, procedure? Is that what
it's
for?
Like where they take your blood and they spin the plasma and then they inject it back into the area, and it's supposed to help heal the tendon.
I've seen that.
And it might have just been kind of like wear and tear from all the squatting, but I think also like years of gymnastics was not good for those quad tendons. And I have some arthritis in one of my knees. So anyway, decided to go through with that to try to heal the tendon. And it was actually pretty terrible. It was worse than I, like, they told me it was going to be painful, but I kind of didn't take it as seriously as it was going to be. It was pretty bad.
The recovery from the injection itself?
Yeah, so.
What was the protocol? Did you have to, like, stay off it?
For the first 6 weeks, it was, like, even more painful.
Oh.
But luckily, we went on our honeymoon, it was, like, the week leading up to the wedding and our honeymoon, and I was able to actually give it some rest time and then build back up slowly. And then pretty much, I think Wadapalooza was 7 weeks after the injection.
No way.
So at 6 weeks, I was like, I don't know. Like, I was talking to Guido, like, okay, I might have to back out, but I don't want to be rude and back out last minute.
No,
he's like, stay in it for now, or, you know. So I decided, okay, I was going down to Miami regardless for the Box of Business seminar.
Oh,
I was like, I think I'm feeling good enough, but I didn't want to, like, do something stupid and compete when I wasn't ready. Anyway, so I hadn't done pistols yet and I hadn't run yet, but I had done everything else. And then you guys released the pistol workout, so I kind of tested it out and I didn't have any more pain after doing it, and it wasn't that bad while I was doing it. So,
it felt like you're back.
To stay on board.
Cool.
So I actually was, like, really pleasantly surprised with how that weekend went after kind of, I mean, I'd say that I was coming off of, like, resting, but you know how we are. It wasn't like I was just sitting
around still
doing nothing. Yeah.
I mean, during those 6 weeks, were you like, you know, they said it was going to be more painful. Were you complete, no working out, no squatting, no lunging, no, I mean, what was the protocol over the course of those 6 weeks?
I took 2 weeks off of nothing lower body, which, I mean, if you're doing this every day, like, I was shocked at how, like, skinny my legs got in 2 weeks. I was, like,
quick.
Freaking out. but
lose the mass so fast.
I kind of, like, you know, after that, I added in air squats the fourth week, and then I think I added in, like, bike and aerodyne and, like, a little bit of loaded squats the fourth week. So each week I was adding in something. And also doing a lot of upper body stuff.
I mean, relatively speaking, that's a fast recovery. So it's like testing that pistol workout, I'm sure, was like, you know, hit or miss. You were going to figure out if you were ready to go or if recovery was going to be maybe a few more weeks. And
right.
We are definitely very glad that it worked out in your favor and you ended up
crushing.
Yeah,
and I think that it was really good for my body to rest, like, or mentally and physically. I think it was probably one of the best things I could do just because I've been going pretty hard nonstop for 6 years now. And I think, you know, you take a week off after the games or, you know, whatever you might do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's not always enough. So
it makes me wonder, right? It makes me wonder if maybe these games athletes need to take, you know, longer rest periods or take, like, you know, literally have a legitimate off season where they're doing nothing.
Yeah,
but
it's hard. I mean, in gymnastics, I didn't have an off season either necessarily. So I think it's just a lot mentally and physically over the course of, like, 20 years, more than 20 years now. So.
But,
I don't know. Like, people are always like, oh, you're still so young. I'm like, I don't feel young at all.
29 and 6 years into the sport. I just feel like
I can
only imagine, you know, those 2 weeks when you start seeing your quads getting smaller, I'm sure that was mentally tough for you to be like, oh, my God, what is happening? I need to get back into it.
Yeah, just because I'm always, like, trying to keep up strength-wise. And, you know, I'm one of the smaller athletes, and so it's like, you don't want to lose your strength after spending so much time gaining it.
Right.
I'm sure everybody can relate, but it's pretty weird. For years, I wanted to be, like, smaller, 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 and now I'm like, I want to be as big as I can with still being, like, lean and, you know.
Such a
contrast. I just look at it completely differently than before.
Yeah, it's such different sports, although you still need to have your gymnasty ability, but – yeah, you've got to be able to throw up some big weight, and the standard only gets higher and higher with load, for sure. But in that same note, I want to go back to Wadapalooza. You said you were pleasantly surprised with the outcome. Back-to-back years of second place. Taking home a nice big check with you both times. And I wanted to ask, you know, what was your, of the entire weekend, you know, I'm sure that a big part of it was realizing that you were good to go and that you were probably healthy, you know, post PRP injection. What was your standout moment from the weekend? Anything stand out particular?
I would say my standout moment was the Saturday night workout, like under the lights, with the ending with the 30 muscle ups.
Oh man,
that was my first win of the weekend, and just a pretty cool workout because you're testing out strength and then also speed and I think there was a few people on the rings before me, and being able to surpass them with 30 muscle ups, that was pretty cool. But I'd also the programming is always solid, and I think the swim workout was a really cool addition this year with a shorter distance swim and making it in rounds. It made it really fun to watch and also to compete.
Certainly, you can always expect something weird to be thrown out there for the athletes that taking advantage of the venue that we have in Bayfront Park and the water, the sun, being outdoors is always fun.
I mean, it's really cool in terms of, you know, doing something that is more in that unknown category and being able to test that in an off-season or an off-season competition is really cool.
Awesome. Yeah, something that you may or may not be seeing in out in Carson, California. But I mean, maybe something similar for sure. On that same note, the 30 muscle-ups. So I don't know how many girls were in front of you necessarily, but do you remember how you broke those up? I mean, that's for those of you listening that don't know, this workout was there was some snatches for load mixed into a long chipper. So there was like 1,000. One snatch, 1,000-meter row, two snatches, 200 dubs. And then three snatches, again, where you could pick the load on all three of those, and then finishing up with 30 muscle-ups. So at the tail end of that grueling chipper, do you remember how you broke those up?
If I had to take an educated guess, I think I started out with 8 and then followed it up with 5 or 6. And then from there, I kind of worked my way down. So let's say I was at 14. Then I think I tried to stick with 3s the rest of the time.
That's insane to me. That is awesome. I mean, from what I remember watching that workout, a lot of the girls they moved their way to, like, I think some of them started off with 3, a couple sets of 3, then a couple sets of 2, and then I remember many girls going to singles because they were just so dang beat. I mean, there's so much pulling in that workout. Wow, that's awesome. So that is clearly
you got to take advantage of that was one of my goals for this off season, is to be able to go into competitions like that and try to win workouts, like especially with the things that I'm good at, gymnastics workouts. Mm-hmm. You know, at the games, I can get top 10 in some workouts, but I'm never usually in the top 3. And that's kind of like the main goal, is to capitalize on my strengths and get some of those top 3 finishes.
Not just be consistent, but also crush some as well. And I think you're well on your way to that. And you've proven it at Wadapalooza the last 2 years. And then I was looking back at the leaderboards, and the year prior, you were right up there as well. You were top 5 3 years ago. So
I was fourth. I was pretty mad about fourth, but it was another awesome competition. I was just personally mad with fourth because it was like
a streak away.
Where I was like only getting fourth place.
No. Well, hey, well, now you've surpassed that for sure. And
I was stuck in a rut for a while when I got fourth at regionals and then fifth at regionals and fourth at Wadapalooza in the meantime.
Oh, well, now that's definitely well in the past. Look at you now, crushing it.
Oh yeah.
So back to WASA weekend, coming down from Atlanta. What is the weather like? I mean, I know it's heating up now, but back in January, I've been to Atlanta. I've only ever been like in the spring or summer. Does it get cold? Maybe I'm just ignorant here around Terminus. Does it get cold? Is it a nice relief to come down to Miami or what? Is it like, do you view it as a vacation?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, people think that Atlanta never gets cold, but it definitely does. This was a warmer winter that we had. Yeah, in January, it's definitely down in the 30s in Atlanta. And
okay.
So you come down to Wadapalooza, and it's like 70 and sunny. I don't know if it was that sunny this year, but it was at least warmer.
Friday was quite the experience for many. I think that's going to be the talk of the town for quite a while. As you guys,
it was crazy, but it was fun.
How was that for you Friday? I mean, did you have any? I mean, now that I hear that you were coming off of you know, basically a 6 week rest for the most part, did that freak you out with the overheads, the pistol overhead squat and GHD? I mean, in the rain, I'm not sure. Did your heat have a lot of rain?
Not really. I mean, well, I was pretty excited about that workout because regardless of the injury, that workout was really well designed for me.
For sure.
Except for the fact that I like hadn't done pistols in 6 months. But I still, pistols is one of those things where, you know, you can move fast with them or you can't. Like, it's more about like how sore are you going to be after you do them. But yeah, I was excited about that workout. The heat before us, it was literally like torrential downpour. So I remember like turning to some of the other athletes like, what are we doing here?
You're swimming. You're working out at the same time. Another swim wad you didn't know about.
Yeah, we didn't really think about it once we were out on the floor.
Very cool. Well, I'm glad that you ended up enjoying that. And the weekend itself is now 2 months behind us, and we're well into the open season, as we spoke about earlier on here. And we've got 2 weeks left of that. And then before you know it, regionals will be here in May, and it's in your backyard once again.
Excited for it to be in Atlanta again.
That's got
to
be incredible. Do you feel like there's, you know, a degree? I mean, a home field advantage is definitely a prevalent thing in other sports. Do you feel like there's such thing in CrossFit and functional fitness?
Yeah, I mean, last year I was nervous just because I had not really competed in Atlanta very often. Mm-hmm. And so I was mostly nervous just like, okay, I am sleeping in my own bed, which is an advantage, but I need to make sure to be there on time and like have all the stuff that I need to have, because you're not like packing a suitcase.
Right, if you're going home.
But then like during the workouts, it was the first time that I ever felt like the crowd actually did make me move faster and things like that. So yes, I would say it's a little bit of an advantage, but I mean, you still have to be capable of doing all the work. So
do you envision a repeat victory here in 2016?
That would be cool. It would be the three-peat.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I promised you that this would not be too long. I really appreciate you getting on the line with us here this morning, and the plan is to get this thing up and on to the internet here in no time, so you'll have it up today.
All right, cool.
So, Emily, thank you so very much. Emily Bridgers, Wadapalooza second-place finisher, not just this year, the year prior, and she's coming for that top spot, not just at the Games, but at Wadapalooza in 2017. Emily, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. All right, guys. And that is a wrap. Again, Miss Emily Bridgers on with us here on the Wadapalooza podcast. We hope you enjoyed that episode. And again, folks, be on the lookout for a big announcement coming April 1st. We've got something up our sleeves. This is your host, Dylan Malitsky, signing out. Another edition of the Wadapalooza podcast.